Welcome to Dish the Dirt, a light-hearted and fun podcast about Australian flower growers, their stories, knowledge and insights into the industry. I'm your host Rebecca, and each week I speak to a different farmer and get them to dish the dirt. Dish the Dirt acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land on which we work and live, and recognise their continuing connection to land, water and community. We pay respect to elders past, present and emerging. Hi, this is one of the special episodes that I'm bringing you about the flooding in New South Wales. Tonight I spoke to Tara from Olive Gap Farm. Tara farms flowers but also has a big tea tree oil farm, and they've just started planting natives also. So it was very brave of Tara to jump on and speak about their situation and what's happened on their farm. Also, she talks about other farmers near her and friends of hers that have been affected by the floods. This could be triggering if you have just been in the flooding or know of anyone who has been in the flooding. So please just be mindful that this is still very raw for a lot of people. So if you're not ready to listen, then please just stop now and take it up some other time. If you would like to reach out and tell your story, please, I would love to be able to share it with everyone and for you to be able to tell us the best way to help you. So thank you so much, Tara. This connection does go in and out, and this may happen with a few of the people who I interview because internet and everything is still being fixed and power is still being fixed, and yeah, I mean, a lot of these people have only just got water. So, but thank you again to Tara, and let's get into what is a pretty emotional and devastating story, but one of hope also. So thanks, Tara.
Yes. Hi.
Yeah, cool. How are you going?
I'm not.
How are you going? I'm good in comparison to everyone who's having to deal with what's going on for you guys. Seems it's pretty intense.
Really intense.
I'm just still trying to wrap my head around things.
As many people are, it's kind of, I think it's a week in now, so the adrenaline's starting to wear off a little bit, and it's starting to sink in for a lot of people because I'm still gobsmacked.
Happened so unexpectedly. So many people are
still in shock, I think.
Yeah. So just, I know we've had you on the podcast before, but whereabouts is your farm? Just for people who haven't listened.
Sure. No worries. Yeah. We're in Woodburn in
the North River.
Yeah.
South Wales.
Yeah.
Woodburn is a bit of a flood town. There's a river and we're about 20 minutes out of the town. So we're on a rural property. Quite a ways away. Certainly there's been really low level flooding at our place, like through flood events in history, but nothing like that. But wood got incredibly smashed, as everyone I'm sure will know, with Lismore and towns, Corakai. But we're kind of a bit more.
The lower
Richmond area. It's not usually something that we deal with regularly, I would say.
So yeah. Do you want to take me back to kind of a week ago and what happened? I know it rained, obviously it rained, but for you on your property, how did the water sort of rise and what's happened since then?
Sure. Well, so it did rain for days and days, and it was really heavy torrential rain, like I think the highest rainfall we've ever had. We're right near the coast, so we often, you know, can get like a really big dump, but, you know, we were getting 100 mils a day more, way more. There was places, it was way more than that actually, now that I think about it, because there were places. And it just relentless and wild. So we were kind of all, you know, hauled up for quite a while just waiting that out. And then, yeah, then Lismore flooded. The levee broke. We kind of, Lismore had expected that, but not anything like the levels. My mum was there, and my mum and sister live in Lismore. And my mum was not in the floodplain, like in the flood zone. Lost everything.
Oh, and I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I mean, she was amazingly lucky. She had just sold her house and she was in a rental. So she lost everything she owns and her car, but she'd actually bought the house. So that is a crazy blessing that.
Yeah.
So lucky. So that was shocking, and I think we were all just in shock from that, how high Lismore was going up. And so for us, we just had never thought that it would come up as high as it did. So we basically got a call on Monday morning at 6 a.m. Saying from Tess, because we're in the farm with my sister-in-law Tess and Nina. Tess gave us a call and she was just like, the farm has flooded. The because we're up on a hill about 5 minutes up the road.
Yeah.
And she was just like, yeah, because we had like, she's like, barrels of tea tree oil are floating away. My cars are all there. I just don't know what to do, and you can't get to me because it was completely cut off. So we were just freaking out. We had just we were just about to launch this whole new thing for our farm of essential oils, and we'd just invested like 30 grand of packaging that had arrived 2 days before. We saved our tea tree that was in like watertight barrels, and about
until we lost, like until it went, you know, beyond what we could cope with.
We were in kayaks and everything, and
oh, wow.
We started tying down all of our equipment because we use
old-fashioned traditional wood fire steam
distillation gear, which we knew would probably survive being submerged, but we just didn't want it to float away. So we started just tying everything to trees and tying things down so that they just wouldn't, like, water tank.
We didn't get to tie the water tanks,
but, yeah, things like that that we could try to do. But, yeah, and it was just so shocking and everyone was just in shock. But, that was one of the most stressful things for people, is that they couldn't get good – no one had reception. People – but most people in the community now been accessed
and
around Maynham and Wilson's Creek, Mullumbimby Way, roads are just completely washed, and there's still people getting choppered out, and
it's a long way. It's quite wild.
Yeah. So where to from now for someone like yourself who, you know, you've lost your feed growers and your eucalyptus? What does this sort of mean in terms of like financial cost And I guess also the emotional cost of just kind of picking yourselves back up and getting going again.
Absolutely. Well, look, I think we're in a bit of a
unique position where most people, you know, that live on their farm, they're kind of going to, you need to think first and foremost, obviously, about your family and your home and where you're going to live. And so we're so lucky that we still have that. So I feel, you know, a lot of energy towards, you know, wanting to kind of rebuild down there. I mean, it's really rattling to think, is it going to happen again? Like, what else can happen? We had the 2019 bushfires, which we didn't actually burn, but we were fighting fires for 2 months to keep it off the property.
Yeah.
And then that pretty much got just, you know, that felt like such a big thing. But then suddenly there was COVID. and the bushfires weren't that big anymore, and now suddenly COVID's just like a distant, and so, you know, it's very rattling, but it certainly, it makes me even more passionate about the sort of farming that we're trying to do, because I mean, our climate, I feel, you know, it's happening right now. Climate change, I feel, is happening right now, and we something about. If anything, it makes me more inspired to just like change this old way of thinking. And there's so many solutions out there. And we're so lucky we're growing a crop like tea tree that will recover from the floods.
Mm.
Our fajoa, like that, I think they're gone. But the first step is to kind of wipe over the leaves, which we did yesterday. It was the first day we could get in there.
Yeah.
And over the leaves just to try to let them photosynthesize and repair if they can, but half the leaves were falling off as soon as I touched them, so
yeah.
I'm not very hopeful. They're very stressed. But yeah, I feel like I mean, because the water's full of bacteria and things like that as well.
Mm.
I feel like we'll just leave it down there for a while, maybe plant. I know that it's sort of recommended in flood areas to cover crop or like, you know, taproot.
Or anything with a big taproot, like a turnip or things like that
can aerate the soil and get oxygen back in there. So we'll probably do something like that, I would say. But basically just let it play out for now, and you know,
we'll see what survives and
what doesn't.
Yeah. And what do you think the biggest thing people can be doing from, say, a place like Victoria or WA or somewhere where we're not affected? What can we do to help farmers up near you?
Sure. Yeah, well, I was thinking about that. And look, there are lots of GoFundMe initiatives out there. For us, we have just decided that we were going to be launching our new tea tree products in April. We've just decided to do that anyway, but open it up to pre-orders and basically just try to circulate, just buy our products, and that will help us to continue. You know, try to recover. So if any farms do have even like gift vouchers or something that you can buy other than donating, which is really valuable and amazing. But yeah, for us, we've got a good product. We just want to get people to buy it and hopefully they'll love it and buy it again, you know, or whatever. But I have noticed a lot of farms are kind of, you know, selling vouchers and things like that, so that I guess it's kind of inspiration for the for them to keep going.
Yeah,
exactly. It's just so cool right now. I feel the flower farmers that I know and veggie farmers around here, it's just still so raw. It's almost, it's too early to ask them how we can help. It's just that still that processing, but the best way is to just help anyway, and through buying or buying from them, or I mean, when the time comes, if people can, you know, have hands on deck to help with things as well, that's great too. But yeah, when you're far away, tricky.
Yeah. There is great organisations like Blaze Aid, and I know a few others out there that do set up volunteer camps and work on farms with farmers. So that's something that people can reach out to if they wanted to be hands-on, I think. So now there's more rain forecast. Have you put in any, you know, do you plan for this now? Do you think, okay, well, what do we do if it comes again?
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're all a little bit scared of rain right now. Although a little bit of it is good. Like, we had a big downpour last night, and everyone, I was at my community centre because I'm lucky enough, even though we got cut off, our access only just opened today. So we've been on our little island for a week now. But we have like 30 people that share our intentional community. So we were sort of together last night, and there was a big downpour. It was just triggering everybody, you know. We were just like, oh no. It seems so ironic with the bushfires. We were praying for rain, and now we're like, no more rain.
But
we're gonna have, I mean, I was already going down the path of to do more natives, and especially more natives that are endemic to our area, because they're just that, you know, they're just more adapted, they're more hardy. But oh, look, something like this, it just doesn't matter what you do. There's no way of avoiding it. So I think we'll just pick up and just keep going. And certainly one thing is about building things to last, like, especially as our climate is changing and so many things. Like, we had friends that had brick houses or earthen houses or sawmint houses that, you know, they can just hose off and they're going to be fine. The
more modern houses are so much more vulnerable
with the cheap stuff that we put in them. So I don't know. I'm feeling like I'm going to be even more of a prepper now, and just wanting to go back to some more old school ways that are just more resilient and able to cope with unstable situations, because it's just going to keep on changing.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be fabulous if insurance companies could pour their money into that and say, you know, rebuild, but rebuild with these methods instead, so, you know, future proofs your house and your life.
Think all of the solutions are there. We just need, I don't know, governments to help support those solutions, and need to keep putting pressure on them, because I still feel hopeful. It feels so heartbreaking and scary at the same time, but I feel like the solutions are there. We just keep moving forward.
And is there anything that you wanted to share about this experience, or anyone that you know in your area that could really need help, that really needs help, just to share it on the podcast? Is there anything you wanted to say?
Oh, look, I haven't, because the internet's been coming in and out, I haven't touched base with a lot of people I'd really like to check in on. But I know that my dear friend Hannah from our little flower farm, who has a beautiful garden, and she has a store up in Nuribar where she sells only local flowers. So she's really the heart and soul of a lot of the flower farming industry up here. She lost her house and garden, and had a really crap run over the last few years. So I would just say, help her. She's the first one I would go to. There's so many people in need, I know, but her livelihood, and she's such a passionate woman. She teaches flower growing. That's the main person who I'm worried about right now. There's two amazing, I had a lovely email today from
flower company and
Life Force Farms, that are both like small flower growers on near the natural bridge, sort of near the border, and they thought that I'd lost all of my flowers, which most people have because they've just seen the photos on Instagram of our main farm down the hill. And they were like, we're planting seedlings for you. We're going to keep your succession going by the time these are ready. Hopefully, you know, we can come out and help you plant them. And, oh, I just melted into mush just going, oh, my gosh, that was just so sweet. And offering that to some other people. And so if anyone else, I guess, is around this area and might be able to do something similar, it is something that, I mean, even me, I haven't even looked at my garden. It's amazingly, all of that rain, because I'm on really sandy soil, it drains really well. So my flowers are actually amazing. And I'm watching out my window just going, oh my gosh, I just can't even bear to spend 5 minutes picking you. And there was nowhere to take them anyway. My succession will be way out by the time that I actually get around to getting back out into the garden. My Flock Cafe, I should mention as well, they're not flower growers, but they're the amazing, funkiest cafe in Lisbon that I sell my flowers. Twice a week I deliver to them. I have three cafes twice a week. And I just love them, and those as well with COVID, and they lost their house and business in Lismore. So, shout out to them, because they have been so supportive of our local flowers and, it's just hard to –
Yeah, it's comprehend. Hard to put it into words or to comprehend loss like that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think my idea for these, I've got a few other farmers who have been affected, and my idea is just to get your voices out there and for these names of these businesses to be heard, so that people can sort of put a face to the name, and hopefully we can get some people helping or donating or just doing whatever they can for these people. So
that's so awesome of you. Thank you so much.
No, that's okay. And if there's something that in your area we can do from afar, please let me know. Like if there's an organization that you think of and I can put a shout out to that, that would be great.
Thank you. I wish that I could say one, because there's so many amazing ones at the moment and I have not been off the property, so I don't even know what's what. But I'm sure that I will, if I find one, I'll let you know.
Thank you so much, Tara. It's amazing for you to speak to me about it, because I know how raw it is for you still, and, it's an emotional thing to have to talk about, especially when you know people so closely who have lost everything. So I really appreciate it. Thank you so much to Tara for speaking to me. If you go to Tara's Instagram, which is Olive Gap Farm, you can find a link to be able to buy their tea tree products, but also Tara has put up a video about what happened on their farm and in their area, and some good information. So if you would go to there, you can support them, support others in the area. Also, Tara gave me a organization which is helping people up in Northern New South Wales with the flooding, and the link is in my bio. So head to that if you are able to donate. It's also there if you're able to give help in a hands-on way. So if you're in that area and you want to help, there's also other initiatives that have come up from Grown Not Flown and other organizations. Grown Not Flown is growing seedlings for farmers affected. So if you would like to jump onto their page as well, that's a great initiative. So Thank you for listening. If anyone else is out there and wants to share their flower farming story or story of what is happening in the northern New South Wales area at the moment, I am more than happy to have you on the podcast, and keep being blooming fabulous.